Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Fan. And I was screaming earlier, and I can't scream all show because my neighbors will complain. I'm working from the house. But it's just... it's so frustrating because you've got enough talent where you can get up on other NFL teams by two or three scores, and then you don't have the poise to finish it. And we all know, guys, there's only one way to go with this. One guy has got to go, and maybe more than one guy. It's just, it's the nature of the NFL. So Arthur Blank, as we reported earlier, Chris Mortensen reporting, at least he's hearing that nothing's going to happen. You heard that Dan's going through his regular media obligations with the media up at the branch. It's just, I'm just beyond apoplectic with this. It's just, it's embarrassing, Will, because it's embarrassing as a fan. It's embarrassing to see us being the laughing stock of the NFL, to see, you know, Football Night in America. I woke up this morning, Good Morning Football. Everyone's like, Nate Brosnan's like, how can you do this again? I'm like, I don't know. It's just, it's mind blowing. So we'll get into that. We'll let you guys say your piece. Keep it above board, though, guys. You know, I don't want to have like 5 hours. Hey, damn idiot. No, I mean, let's get it out there and talk about it, because I know that Falcon fans like me who love this team, who make the commitment to buy season tickets, you just feel like, you know, Arthur Blank is just not catching the temperature, not getting the vibe in the room right now by any stretch.
My biggest question of the man who will be on the sidelines when we talk to him tomorrow is, what has you convinced that after what we've been through each of the last 2 weeks, that you're going to go out there and expect a different result? What changes? Again, I'm not going to necessarily ask for trade secrets, but what has you convinced that we've rid ourselves from whatever malaise that we're going through right now in terms of being able to close out games, whether it's procedure, whether it's doing something different at the end of games, committing more to the run? And that's the one thing I keep coming back to, is that, you know, we ran the ball pretty well, almost 6 yards a carry, and yet we only do it one time in the final 6 minutes of the football game. But we'll hear from you guys coming up here about 20 minutes from right now at 404-741-0929, not only on the phones, but also the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text line on Twitter, at Willie P Style, at Mike Bell ATL, and at 929 the game. Before we do that, though, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Dog Report brought to you by Brightbox, Mike Bell.
Yeah, I'm on brightboxelectrical.com. It's spelled B-R-I-T-E, and the guys did a fantastic job. They remounted the TVs in my dojo. Looks great. And they're going to be doing, man, I'm going to have like a wall of TVs, can't wait, in the new house, you know, as long as the wife lets me. But anyway, go to brightboxelectrical.com, home theater and automation, you name it, they can do it all for you.
32 second half points made the result look a lot more cosmetic than it really was, Mike. The first half, I know a lot of people who I know are Georgia fans were looking at that and saying, that can't be us, right?
I thought they'd be a little sluggish, only because it's a new offense with Todd Monken, and we just weren't sure how Dwan Mathis was going to respond, knowing that Jamie Newman got all of those snaps for a month before, obviously, he opted out at Georgia. So I didn't expect to score 5 points in the first half. I mean, 7-5 is like, man, it's like your average Braves score. But unfortunately, you know, for Georgia, Dwan Mathis took a big hit on a third down run. And I never want to accuse a student athlete of, you know, maybe being a little gun shy, but to pull up when he could definitely have gotten another first down while scrambling, that raised some eyebrows to the point where the broadcast they talked about it, Dave Neal in shock, it just looked weird. But then Stetson Bennett comes in. And, you know, he's got kind of like a gunslinger's mentality, which I like. You know, I saw Seth Emerson write up about it. He's not afraid to throw it down the field, not afraid to throw it in the middle of the field when they had a bad snap. He's not trying to create something to make something worse. He just fell on the football. And then you get your playmakers involved. Pickens. Now, Zamir White finishes with 71 yards. He broke one for 20. But were you surprised how difficult it was for Georgia to establish the run?
I was, and I think a lot of that, could you give credit to the former Missouri coach and now defensive coordinator for Arkansas, Barry Odom. He's got a lot more talent there than I think people know about when it comes to Arkansas. And the one place where I do believe that Sam Pittman is going to have a big impact is on the trenches. That's the one thing that they could not get under Bielema and then into the Chad Morris era, is that they did not have the big uglies on either side of the football to really compete. I was surprised that you couldn't get as much traction in the run game as you did on Saturday, but I do feel like that Arkansas unit is a lot better off than I think they might be rated. So at least from that standpoint, Georgia has an opportunity to possibly get better next week with the Auburn game. Here's Kirby Smart talking about why he made the decision to pull the youngster DeJuan Mathis out of that game early on.
Yeah, you know, we were on the headphones and we talked and said we were struggling offensively. We didn't have a lot of rhythm and felt like we needed to change some things up. I don't know how many drives we were into with DeJuan. It felt like five, maybe six. I don't know how many total it was before we went with Stetson. But, you know, we just thought it would give us some energy. There's some things he can do well, and he's different than DeJuan in some of his experience. And it gave us a spark. It helped us out. He's very decisive with the ball. He makes good decisions. He understands what the defense is trying to do to him. So getting to watch them defensively a little bit, I think, helped him.
Kirby is not committed to whether or not it'll be Stetson Bennett who goes out there this upcoming week against Auburn, whether it'll be Mathis or even JT Daniels. But we do know, at least per Kirby, when he spoke earlier today, that Daniels has been fully cleared medically and will be available to play on Saturday. Whether he starts, we still don't know, Mike. I feel comfortable. You seem a little bit sheepish on letting him take the reins.
Well, I mean, just that Stetson Bennett the fourth, son, I say. He did a nice job for you. He's certainly, you know, more than a game manager. But JT Daniels, the number one pocket passer when he was coming out a few years ago before he was, injured at USC, cleared to play, but that's still Auburn defense. I know they lost Marlon Davidson and some pieces, but that's still an aggressive defense. It is home at Sanford Stadium. But, we all are excited about JT Daniels. It seemed like the longest waiting for someone to be cleared to play in the history of the SEC. But, I think that Kirby, you know, has got to find a way. Number one, everyone assumes, it's so funny, as soon as DeJuan Mathis got sat, everyone's always going to transfer out. Transfer portal for DeJuan Mathis. Well, let's hope that DeJuan Mathis has a spine. Okay, let's hope that DeJuan Mathis, you know, bucks the trend of everybody else. Now, I'm not lumping him in with Justin Fields. They blew it with Justin Fields 7 ways to Sunday. But you hope that DeJuan Mathis maintains some confidence because he might be called on before the season's over to do something. You can't just write him off after one bad half of football. Do you agree?
I agree.
I thought it'd be a better fit. He looks so sluggish. He looked so uncomfortable back there. And we've never seen him, so I didn't know what to compare it to other than you go back and look at his highlight film, in high school.
He looked like a guy who had never played a college football game before. And I feel like, again, when you look at what he's had to go through his entire Georgia career, the head injuries last year, it looked like the game was too fast for him and that he wasn't up to game speed. And he could turn into somebody who actually could be a Georgia quarterback for a couple of years, or, you know, whether Vandergrift doesn't work out or something of that nature. But I do feel like at that time, you had a chance for him to possibly take the reins of that job, and he missed out, unfortunately.
Well, one good thing last night, or I should say Saturday afternoon with Georgia, is you still had Felipe Franks at quarterback for Arkansas. And whether it's the cocktail party or they're in Fayetteville, he's ready to throw it to the other guys. So we finished with 2 picks, and that helped Georgia. Obviously, the pick 6 was a huge moment for Georgia. You know, I mean, it was about what I expected. I mean, I never expected, as I said, that as bad an offensive output in the first half. But I think you got to feel really good that Stetson Bennett could do the things he did for you.
You certainly do. I feel like you have somebody who has competence out there, even if you don't feel like JT Daniels can make things happen. We'll see how it looks with the Deep South's oldest rivalry coming up next weekend. It was not just the Falcons who had issues with COVID protocols this weekend. Georgia State had its game postponed against Charlotte, but we find out yesterday, Mike, that the postponement was a result of the COVID-19 tests were read incorrectly, and that all the tests that were positive turned out being false positives and that were actually negatives. Game has not been rescheduled, but I wonder again, and this is not to slight Georgia State, because I don't want to do that, but I do feel like this is going to be the major barrier from the college standpoint, because you don't have equity across the board, especially when you go from Power 5 conferences to the Group of 5. Right. It's going to be a lot different for a lot of these schools to get these results read and read accurately.
I mean, it's one of those things we've seen with the NFL where Matthew Stafford got upset his family because they had a false positive or they had some bad information. There have been a lot of this, in you know, we've seen it in everyday life, let alone for guys that are student-athletes. The NFL seems to have a better handle on it. Unfortunately, you know, we lose A.J. Terrell as part of that COVID now injured list. And again, let's hope that his is also a false positive. But right now, it was just – when you saw the story, you're like, well, we're trying to make this work. Who's doing the testing? Mm-hmm. How are these protocols not coming down the right way? It's kind of like what Major League Baseball was going through early on when they were screwing things up. Georgia Tech, by the way, I mean, we said earlier last summer, or in this summer, I should say, it was going to be a long turnaround for Coach Collins. Now that you see just how completely lost Florida State is, and the freshmen are the only guys that are playing, the other guys have really quit on Mike Norvell. It's a bad situation in Tallahassee. But that's still a big win for Georgia Tech. Don't diminish the fact you went to Tallahassee and got a win. Mm-hmm. They got back in this game against Syracuse. They're getting smoked. They battle back. They're within a field goal. And then the turnovers just killed them. I mean, that was just tough to watch at the end. They, you know, 17-0, they were down. And they pulled back in. Jameis Griffin, 3-yard touchdown run. And third, figured, okay, we got a chance. And then Syracuse just turns right around. Good news is they got some good things happening with the run game. But this is a shame because this is a game where Tech kind of, they gave you a little false hope that they battled back only to see Syracuse kind of step on the gas. And that's not a great Syracuse team either.
No, it's not. And it's weird. You know, I know they lost two games on the road to teams who are now ranked. But at the same time, Mike, I thought you could go up there and win that football game. And it's a real disappointment. Again, I feel like I don't completely think it takes the wind out of your sails from that opening week victory over Florida State, but I think it reminds you of just where you really are right now with Georgia Tech. It's still a rebuild. Yes, you have some great pieces, and I think Jeff Sims is going to be a great quarterback in his time at Georgia Tech, and I feel like what they're doing there offensively is miles and miles further than what they were doing under Paul Johnson, so that part of it's very encouraging. But at the same time, like you said, it's a rebuild. It's a total, you know, turn it over and basically take it up by the studs and try to build it right back up again. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be a while. There's going to be some growing pains. And unfortunately, that's the long and the short of it. We did see some unfortunate upsets, though, earlier on Saturday. LSU loses to the Fighting Pirates. Mike Leach, gotta love that.
Well, Costello, man, coming from Stanford, and they just, I mean, you're talking about the, you know, Mike Leach's calling card, you know, this kind of monster offense. And look, you knew that LSU was going to really be struggling between the players that went to the NFL and the players that opted out. So you just don't have that. I mean, they're going to have to learn on the job. I mean, look, they got tremendous recruits. You know that Coach O is going to get it together. But man, what? I mean, how about Mike Leach after the weird offseason with all the strangeness to come in and have a monster win? That's as good as it gets. We're looking forward. I know Squid's going to reach out to MSU, and we're going to try to get him on the show. I thought that was crazy. Alabama did what they needed to do against your alma mater. You know, I think Mac Jones certainly looks solid. I thought Auburn, man, I mean, they really could have been up, what, 14-7 and a half. They got screwed on the pick six. The refs blew it over there at Jordan-Hare. But Auburn, that's a good win for them. And I don't think Auburn was basically showing everything they want to do, save something for Georgia. And we talked about it. If you want to say what's the most impressive victory other than Mississippi State, how about what the Gators did to Ole Miss? Mm. I mean, six touchdowns for Trask down there.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm really, really concerned about that cocktail party game because it does feel like Trask is coming into his own now. And, you know, whatever Dan Mullen does to quarterbacks, you know, I'd like a bottle of something like that, at least for my alma mater. Like you said, they didn't exactly do well at quarterback against Alabama. How about also for the second year in a row, Wildcats of Kansas State and Mr. Kleiman's group going to Oklahoma and winning against Boomer Sooner 38-35. That's something that I think was a head-scratcher for a lot of people, and especially when it comes to the balance of power in the Big 12. You think about Texas escaping at the death against Texas Tech. That's one, too, that you looked at and you kind of scratched your head about. But that loss for Oklahoma, that's a big one.
Yeah, and this is a team that has their number, you know, Kansas State. And I know I joke around with Carl all the time. Willa's in for Carl today, who's off this week, and his daughter's birthday today. Happy birthday to Trent. But here's the deal. I joke around with Carl all the time. Does nobody ever play defense in Texas or in the Big 12?
No.
I mean, when you guys play pickup football games, does everybody say, I'll be the wide receiver? Nobody wants to play defensive back. The tackling is unbelievable. The busted coverages are insane. It's like that's what keeps Oklahoma from winning a national championship. They don't play solid defense. And I know a lot of guys are already starting to talk about they want Lincoln Riley. I don't know. I mean, I know that, you know, we said Cliff Kingsbury is like the babe, the boy right now. Everybody's excited about that. I don't know. I like a guy like Eric Bieniemy, but again, we're not having that conversation yet because Dan Quinn is still Falcon coach. But Texas, you know, they live to play another day. Ellinger made some big-time plays down the stretch when they had to. But, yeah, now the good news is if they lose another game, there's a chance that you might have two SEC. I think we all kind of assume two SEC teams potentially in this Final Four this year.
It's weird. The one year that when Missouri, my alma mater, was actually had a competent defense, it's when our offense went to hell. So that's I could totally identify with just watching those Big 12 games and seeing absolutely no defense played and points galore. But tough loss for the Sooners. We want to hear from you because we've said our piece on Dan Quinn's situation when it comes to the Falcons. Be respectful, but also tell me what your vibe is about this team through 3 weeks of the season. 404-741-0929. We'll get the phones open, and we'll hear from you next. Willie P. in for Carl Dukes. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Dukes and Bell, Willie P. in for Carl. I'm looking at NFL Network right now, Mike Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Falcons are the second team in NFL history to score 90-plus points in weeks 1 through 3 combined.
Right.
And start 0-3. Ugh.
Well, I mean, like I said, it's something now where, you know, we always joke around about, is it a thing? Oh, it's a thing. It was a thing after Super Bowl 51 and, 17. I always give Dan Quinn and his staff all the credit in the world, you know, for bouncing back and making the playoffs. Unfortunately, we had the wrong guy calling the shots. The guy we should have called the shots is coaching Green Bay, Matt LaFleur. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask him about that because now they're playing Green Bay, so it's a pertinent question. It wouldn't have been, 2 weeks ago, but now it kind of is. But, yeah, man, it's just we have a crisis of confidence, okay? And whether they want to talk about it or they don't want to talk about it, we all know. We got a lead, and now it's late in the game. We wet the bed. There's no other way to describe it. And one of the questions I want to ask Coach is, because we asked him on after week one, you're communicating with Dirk Cutter. Where is the situational awareness that we're playing right into the Bears' hands? We're doing drives of a minute and a half, a minute and 22 seconds on those three and outs. You're not doing anything to force tempo for the Bears to make them do something, make them call a timeout, make it difficult. You're handing the game over to the Bears on a platter because you're trying to throw the ball, and two of our three best wide receivers aren't out there with Julio and Russell Gage. So they're obviously collapsing on Calvin. The pass rush is coming. You said it earlier, we were effectively running the football. So why did that stop when the game was – you run to finish the game. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to yell anymore. Sorry.
Well, we talked earlier about pride, and that's the other thing. We were talking about it in reference to Arthur Blank, but I feel like there was a significant lack of pride in each of the last two ball games. And, when it comes to the way that these last 2 weeks went, it's not one singular action. Like, people talked about the onside kick last week. A lot had to happen to get to that point. And a lot had to happen to basically have what happened yesterday. Like, you had to have situations that developed as part of that game that led to the Falcons not executing, whether it was on offense or defense or special teams. There was a comedy of errors. And right now, we're sitting right now at 0-3, heading into a game where we're going to be a heavy underdog. And you wonder what possibly can take place over the course of this long week to make sure that this result doesn't repeat itself. But that's the situation that Dan Quinn and his team have, at least in their mindset and their eyes. And we'll talk to Dan Quinn tomorrow at 3:15 about just exactly all those things and how to get this thing turned around. We want to hear from you, though, at 404-741-0929. With an Xfinity Falcons Monday, experience internet that's more than just fast with Xfinity XFi. Josh is on the south side. And Josh, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
Hey, what I'm just trying to figure out is what kind of team is Dan Quinn trying to put on the field? Are we trying to be very physical? Or are we just trying to be, just take the lead and then stop it, stop them from, in the fourth quarter from scoring? What is he trying to put out there? Because to me, it just seems like he's drafting a whole bunch of people, and they're not fitting a certain scheme.
There were some injuries. I will say this. I mean, you got off to a great start. Mm. I mean, you couldn't be more aggressive than the first touchdown to Ridley. But I think the injuries, and when they started to mount up, Isaiah Oliver can't do the job he needs to do. Sheffield wasn't. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying eventually they finally got the right quarterback in there. And because we have no pass rush, Foles started picking us apart. Fowler needs to man up and make some plays here. Tack is out. Right. To me, it's like, but the injuries are not an excuse. Every team in the NFL is banged up. Everybody. Right. I mean, you've got to look at the Seahawks. They're able to grind it out without their best defensive player on the field yesterday.
You're not wrong. And, you know, that's the thing about Fowler.
But the plan is never, hey, let's get a lead and coast. No, I mean, pedal to the metal. I mean, if anything, we lost the Super Bowl because we lost, again, the same thing that happened here yesterday. We lost situational awareness. Fall down three times, kick a field goal. Dan Quinn will never get fired here, and we'll all be happy, and we'll change the perception of this franchise forever. But that didn't happen.
Fowler is somebody who I've expected a heck of a lot more from. And I know he's been banged up, but he had one quarterback hit yesterday and no tackles. Like, I understand that you're probably getting doubled, and you know, Grady was getting doubled too, and Grady was in and out of the lineup too with that hip. Dan provided no injury update on him, so still wondering about his availability. And, of course, we'll try to get that as much as we can from DQ tomorrow when he joins us. But he's somebody who's, unfortunately, Mike, he's been a ghost, and that's unfortunate. You can't have a guy who you bring in to try and change the narrative when it comes to this pass rush, which was non-existent last year. You can't take that guy and have a zero output from him, especially with all the injuries we've had on the front.
No, I mean, Fowler, I need more from this guy. But again, the pass rush, that's the thing, guys. We weren't getting the pass rush, and then we started to blitz, and we started selling out. We gave up the big plays. That's the risk-reward of the blitz. If you don't get there, you're dead meat.
But not even just getting there, at least force the timing to be off. Like, that's part of it.
We don't do that. We just don't do that. Not consistently. We did it in the first half against the Cowboys. We did it in the first half against Seattle. We did it for much of the game. Like, I mean, you know, we said this earlier. Trubisky, he is what he is, okay? It was a bad draft pick, and he's going to be a foot. No, he's a baseball hat now guy for the rest of his life.
And that's my biggest question that did not get answered this week is that, you know, we feel like we found something or we hit on something in the first half against Dallas. Why is that something that we don't try to do consistently? And again, I know we get beat on the back end, especially with the injuries we had. I know Bleedy and Denard played well, but obviously Isaiah Oliver can't necessarily make it up for it on the back end. And that's something that you certainly have to go through right now if you are the Atlanta Falcons. 404-741-0929. Phillip is in Atlanta. And Phillip, you're on Sports Radio 929, the game on Dukes and Bell. Hello, Phillip.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, man.
What's going on, man?
Oh, nothing much. You know, my take is that, you know, the, you know, majority of the fan base in the media has been hoodwinked once again. You know, it's like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football. You know, it's constant and consistent. I mean, there's nothing wrong. I mean, Dan Quinn is a fraud. I mean, I don't know how many years and how many blown leads and how many situations does this, you know, franchise have to be put in before somebody with a brain realize up there that, you know, he's not the guy. I mean, I don't know what it's going to have to take, because this is not a Dan Quinn issue anymore. This is an Arthur Blank issue. And if he takes this franchise seriously, don't be like an idiot like the Fords up in Detroit and use this as a play toy. You got to, you know, send a message to your franchise that we're not going to tolerate this type of stupidity. I mean,
well, we said it earlier in the show. I mean, if you caught it, I said, you know, I think Arthur, I can't speak directly, but I think he's hesitant because nobody wants to have to rip that Band-Aid off. Because at age 78, you got to go get a new coach in here. You probably got to get a new job. I mean, I would blow everything out at this stage if we can't get this thing back on track. And there's nothing to indicate we can't, because we just blew it against the Bears. I mean, this is the first time we lost to an inferior team. You could argue the Cowboys are pretty quality, you know, although they haven't won anything. And certainly Seattle is one of the elite teams in the league. But to the caller's point, I just think Arthur, there's been some hesitancy there because all that entails. At age 78, we'll hopefully get it from the horse's mouth and we can ask him about this. But this can't go on. I mean, the good news is you don't have fans not in the stadium. I mean, we're going to have a limited amount of folks. I got lucky enough to get tickets, Will. But you saw it last year. Arthur's not blind. He had half-empty stadiums last year, you know, halfway through the season because the fans have just totally tuned it out.
I will say this, and I don't mean to speak for Arthur Blank, but if you know anything about him and having been around him, he cares deeply about this football thing. This is not a play toy. This is not a vanity thing for him.
And
this
I get the caller's take. I'm with you. You know, I get where the caller's coming. That's not how Arthur operates.
It's not. It's definitely not. And I feel like he does take this seriously. And the one thing, though, that he does not like to do, he does not like to make in-season moves. It takes something of a, I hate to use the word catastrophic, but it takes something of a catastrophic nature to force an in-season change. You know, we had Petrino who left, but I mean that you could certainly argue with what happened the last 2 weeks qualifies.
But here's the thing, though, to the caller's point earlier. I mean, look, I get it. We Arthur, I said it. I'm on record. You can go back and find it. We talked about this during the bye week. We had that win against the Saints, and Arthur, I hated that when he came out. We're gonna do an evaluation here in the second half, and they saw 6-2. I said it was fool's gold. You know, you beat the 49ers, and everyone else you beat was crap. You beat a bad Carolina team twice. You beat a Jaguars team with Minshew. And Arthur felt that was the sign things are in the right. No, they're not. And now Arthur's paying the price because he made a mistake, because he should have moved on from this coach and from this staff last year. But he decided to roll it out one more time. And now, again, there's the holiday, or I should say Yom Kippur, so we don't get any movement today. What's going to happen in Green Bay? Does anyone feel we could go up to Green Bay and win this game right now the way we're playing?
Other than... it would be the most Atlanta thing ever. Other than that's the only thing that I have, and you can't root that in reality or any type of actual analysis. I don't think that there's any chance that we go up there and win that football game.
But Arthur made a mistake we all knew where this was going. I mean, we all knew where this was going. But nobody wants to go again, and I don't know if Eric Bieniemy is the guy down the road. Again, Dan is still the coach, but you need somebody who can bring some fresh air into this thing, because whatever the players say, well, we love the guy. I don't care if you love the guy. You guys don't play clutch. You guys choke. The coaching staff makes terrible decisions week in, week out. They don't finish. They take great athletes. We play it for a half a football, and then we fold like a cheap suit. How can you keep rolling that out there and expect the fans to believe in it?
Arthur Blank said when he was going to bring back DQ and Thomas that great coaches make adjustments. What's the next adjustment? We'll have to ask that to Dan coming up about 23 hours from right now here on this very program. Yeah, man, no man with Squidbilly comes your way next. It's Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Monday. Willie P in for Carl, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid-fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan. Brought to you by the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit FixJets.com to learn more.
Falcon Report's on the way, guys. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll also get into the Braves again. The strong arm story of the day as they get ready for the postseason to begin on Wednesday against the Cincinnati Reds. But now it's time to check in with our executive producer, Bo Morgan. Squidbilly has Yeah Man, No Man. What's up, pal?
Well, you know, guys, it was a great weekend until about 4 o'clock yesterday. Man, it was great to have you. So Saturday, I know that, you know, we talked to Brian Jones last week, and he's like, man, there's been college football for like a month now. And he's right. But didn't Saturday really, it felt like that first weekend of college football. And I know that it's because the SEC was back, but it just felt like, you know, college football was really, really, really back.
Right.
I believe so.
I'm with you. Same vibe. Even, you know, I mean, I was watching, as much as it pained me, that even, you know, to see Miami looking like Miami again, unfortunately at the expense of Florida State. But, yeah, there was some stuff over the weekend. And to watch that college football final on Saturday night or Sunday morning and see, yeah, as you said, big boy football. No disrespect to the other conferences, Bo, but I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I had a – so I put a – and I know we kind of talked about this Friday, but I put a pork butt on Friday night when I got back from the Etowah game. Because I did the Etowah game. So about midnight, I threw about a 9-pound pork butt on, and then I threw a couple of round roast on. And, boy, I smoked meat all day, pulled it. We had people over for the start of SEC. Had about 14 pounds of meat, and everybody was just, you know, they were eating. We had a ton of food because everybody brought a side over. So we had all these sides, just ton of food. The booze was flowing, and we had SEC football. And, you know, Georgia is on the TV struggling. So it was great.
I'm surprised. I was kind of mad when you and I were texting back and forth because you were throwing some shade on me because you said it was too early and too warm to have chili. I mean, man, you football is chilly weather. I love it.
Well, football is chilly weather. Football is for chilly, but I would say that I need it to be about 60 and below for chili. And Mike, you weigh in on this. What do you think? What is the appropriate temperature for chili?
Yeah, because I'm the wrong guy. I'll eat chili in the summertime. Be 100 degrees. Right? Some good chili, man. I'm down with it. I'm a chili dog guy. Becky always laughs because, like, you know, I'm Murphy's Law. I'll have like a new Tommy Bahama shirt on or something. Then right all over the chest, you know. No. Although these days, you know, it doesn't even catch the chest. It goes right to the stomach. But yeah, man, I love a chili. Good chili cheese pup, man. Those things from Crystal are the most disgusting things. I used to live on those suckers, man.
Now here's the real test: beans or no beans? That's the big test.
Yeah, you gotta have beans on that sucker. Yeah, man, get your money's worth, man.
What? I can't do beans. I don't do beans.
Oh,
you're a freaking weirdo. Back to you, Squid Billy.
Thank you, Michael, you said it, and I didn't have to. You know, we are going to move on. All right, real quick. We talked about the Pirate and his big win earlier. And
when are we getting him? By the way, I don't want to put you on the spot. When are we getting him on the show, man?
Got to work on it. I'm actually just trying to acquire another big fish for maybe tomorrow. I'll have more later about that. I'll be able to confirm that. But, you know, the team may or may not be in the playoffs. All right. So.
Ooh.
Yeah. But anyways, I've said too much. Pirate pulled out a huge win in his first SEC game, and he said Pirate-like things in the postgame.
Well, what a welcome back to the SEC for you, Coach. It's a great day for you, huh?
Yeah, I tell you, it's better than average, I'll tell you that. This stadium, there's a lot of ghosts in this stadium. And, you know, and you play, we played LSU because, you know, New England, Green Bay, and the Chiefs had somebody scheduled. So we played these guys.
I saw that live, man. I like, again, I know he's not everybody's cup of tea, and sometimes he leans over in the political side of things, whether he's doing it sort of like passive-aggressively or not, but he is entertaining. That's why I really wanted Georgia Tech to kick the tires on him years ago.
Yeah, I just love his personality. The problem is, I think we're going to find out, he's kind of like going to win 9 or 10 games every 3 or 4 years. And then the rest of it's going to be a bunch of 7 and 5. That's kind of what he's been his entire career. But he's fun. His teams are fun to watch. And honestly, that is a perfect recipe for Mississippi State. Let's just be honest. So, anyways, our other favorite coach who happens to coach in the NFL. Do you guys remember when our favorite NFL coach said this?
We're going to put a product on the field that the people of this city and region will be proud of. Because this team will represent this area.
The judge has a ruling. He stinks, by the way.
Stinks. Hopefully it's one and done, man. I mean, the Giants should have taken Eric Bieniemy. But anyway, go ahead, Bo. Yeah, so there's Joe Judge, the law and order coach of your New York football Giants.
Well, that was the preseason message. Now we have the first quarter of the regular season message.
In terms of the people in the area who want to know the direction this program's going, I can assure you that I take a great deal of pride. And I put a lot of personally into this to make sure that the product they see on the field they can be proud of. And although they're disappointed with some of the things that have happened on the field, I can assure you we're working the same way they work every day to get our butts back to work, to get it right, and to get it going forward.
I remember really seeing that like line.
This? Does this guy really talk like this, Will? I mean, does he really sound like that? I mean, that's got to be an affectation.
I remember seeing that line on Sunday, and I remember just seeing it go lower and lower and lower. Like, people are begging you. They're begging you to fall into the hype and take the Giants with all the injuries that the 49ers had. They didn't have a chance in that game when they took the field. None.
Yeah. Guy hit me up on his, I guess it was a suicide league. I'm like, no, first off, I take the 49ers, even like with a fourth string quarterback. The Giants ain't got the firepower. You know what I mean? And Gettleman, I guess he drafted some good offensive linemen when he was with the Carolina Panthers. But man, that team is so flawed right now, the Giants. I mean, we're about as bad as the Jets. It's a push.
I can assure you we're working the same way they work every day to get our butts back to work.
I don't know, man. The Jets look pretty sad. They are pretty sad. It's hard to be more sad than they are.
All right, guys. Before we run out of time, we talked about this earlier. The Braves are locked in as a 2 seed. They know who they're going to be playing in the Cincinnati Reds. The Cincinnati Reds have a great pitching staff, and the leader of that pitching staff is Trevor Bauer, who is very, I would like to say, infamous for his antics, his mouth. Yep. And, our buddy Zach Klein from WSB, they were doing the little Zoom call thing, and he tweeted out this clip of Trevor Bauer being, well, Trevor Bauer.
Just curious, between Freddie and Ozuna, what's a tougher out and why?
Oh, I don't know.
They're all tough outs. We can talk about that. We can talk about that after we win the series.
Whoa! Well,
I mean, again, that's called confidence. I mean, you know, in the old days, you could say that without people going, "Oh, that's like, oh my God, it's very aggressive, isn't it?" No, man, the guy thinks they can come in here and win. Let's just hope. Last year, the Cardinals were just unbelievable blank holes. Remember their manager?
Oh, yeah.
That's, you mess with us, blank, blank, blank. Well, oh, yeah. Trevor Bauer, go back and watch his last start. He literally is screaming at the batters after he's caning him or he's getting a big out. I mean, this guy, he's a dude you want to reach in and punch him in his face, but the Braves got to respond, okay? As Will said it earlier, however we got here, now is not the time to spit the bit, okay? It's worked so far. And if it doesn't work, shame on Anthopoulos and the Braves for not going out there and doing what they should have done, spend on more frontline pitching.
Yeah, that series really hurt me last year because, as you know, my roots back in Missouri, I know a lot of the Cardinal fans. And if you want to talk about a sanctimonious fan base, people who think that they are self-important like anybody else, the St. Louis Cardinals, that's the one thing I'm thankful about this year is that you really don't know any Cincinnati Reds fans. I know maybe one guy who I know just through happenstance as a Reds fan. I'm glad that we don't have that this year. I hope we have a better result this year when it comes to the Braves.
Well, we can ask Alex Anthopoulos about his thoughts on Trevor Bauer tomorrow at 2:20 because it is now confirmed. We'll talk to
look
the team of the race
nice.
Tomorrow.
At look at you.
Good job,
Bauer. You got the big-time producer of the station on the big-time show. So what can I say? I mean, oh, wait, did I say that on air? Oops. All right.
Craig.
I'd like to do some rapid-fire questions for you guys because now I'm feeling a little froggy. I'm actually in a little bit of a better mood now. With Oklahoma's loss, and to Kansas State, Texas now the favorite to win the Big 12.
Yes, but they'll choke it. But they will choke away, but they are still the favorite.
All right. The Big 12's playoff chances are done with Oklahoma's loss to Kansas State.
No, man, because if you get an undefeated Texas in there, you still could possibly get them in the playoff. But like Mike said, that's still a long shot at this point.
I just think with the expanded SEC schedule and the quality of play in the SEC, I just think, you know, we're going to have a couple of multi-loss teams. So I don't know. I do think, though, that I definitely like Ohio State and Clemson and two SEC teams. So I'll say just betting on the come, I will say that the Big 12 will be out this year. It'll be frozen.
Yeah, man, no, man. Kyle Trask is a Heisman candidate after his 6-touchdown performance on Saturday.
I mean, it's hard to argue. I mean, it's one game. It's one game. And again, we'll see what he looks like when they play Georgia and that vaunted defense. But he's pretty good. Pretty good.
Hey, it's a great question, though. Does Justin Fields have a hard time now if he balls out because Ohio State's not going to have as many games as some other guys that are going to be playing for that award? That's interesting.
Don't forget, guys. I mean, Ron Paulus was a Heisman Trophy finalist after one game, too, if I remember right.
Cook?
Craig. That's not true. He was a Heisman candidate when he rolled up in that limo, according to Beano Cook.
Now, for younger guys, Beano Cook, who used to be on ESPN, Ron Paulus is good. He's going to win three or four Heisman Trophy?
I think it was three.
God rest his soul. I love Beano Cook.
All right, guys. Thanks for calling. We're brought to the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. Visit fixjet.com to learn more. Craig? Hit my normal or my new Monday song.
Everybody heard. Squid Billy made that pronouncement about producers, and then Sam and Abe got together and they blocked him like Russian radar. They're jamming it. Yeah, man. Everybody hurts. Falcon fans hurt more than others because we don't play clutch. And we'll talk about it. We'll also get the injury information, Will, because we're really banged up going up against a good Packers team that just dusted the Saints.
Another starter could possibly be out this week when we play the Packers. We'll tell you who that is in the Falcon Report next. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.